All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the fun we have together, the joy of coming together to worship. Thank you for Thanksgiving week that we can just celebrate and remember all the things to be grateful for in our lives, our family and our friends, all the gifts that you give us day by day, the many blessings. Help us never forget to be thankful to you. Thank you again for this gathering, and bless us now, Lord, and pray it in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. Happy post-Thanksgiving. I promise you, I had an outline prepared, and I think Satan got to my computer this morning because everything just went haywire, so that's why you don't have an outline in your bulletin. But if you want to follow along, Hebrews 10:25, but then I'm going to be jumping all around the area, and I might actually end the series this morning about Does Jesus Love Me? So this morning I titled the message, Does Jesus Love Me in the Church? Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner is of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you, and I can't do this in my own strength. I pray for your Spirit to be with us today. We stand upon your promise that we're two or more gathered in your name, that you're right there with us, Lord. Help us to keep drawing near to you as we see the day approaching your return. These are questionable times we're living in, Lord. But we know that you're the strength of our life. We thank you for loving us, for saving us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So a typical Thanksgiving routine that I've had since Irene and I have been married is early Thanksgiving morning, I will get up, have a couple cups of coffee. I'll go to nearest gas station to get the Black Friday ad. And I make sure she gets a special bagel or a donut. Nobody touches that paper until she sees it first. There will be chaos, I promise you. You touch the paper before she gets a hold of it, okay? And so I bring it home, and it's waiting for her with a nice hot cup of coffee. And as a family, we put it over the floor. We see what's in the paper. Last year and this year, the paper has not really been that good. Nothing was really in there. And I'm wondering, are these the end times? Are we living in the apocalyptic era when the Black Friday paper, they start charging you almost, what, $5? With a very little wafer-thin ad in there. You have to wonder, are these the end times? I'm kidding, of course, but I do question for the end times. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some are already doing. I'm paraphrase that part for a reason. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So according to the book of Hebrews, believers are not to forsake coming together for corporate worship, even though many during his day were already doing that. But why? And if we're commanded to go to church, why is it that so many people don't go? And I want you to hear me out this morning, because I don't want to throw legalism into this. When I ask people why they don't go to church, and you're talking to somebody who was not raised in church, you hear all sorts of answers why people don't go. You know, I grew up hearing, I don't need to go to church to worship God. That sounds familiar? Or, I can worship God in my own home. That's my personal favorite. There are just too many hypocrites. Pastor, Sunday's my only day off. I get to sleep in. I want to sleep in. I hate organized religion. And I could go on and on why people don't go to church who claim that they believe in Jesus. But I want to propose to you this morning another possible reason why people don't go to church. What if I told you within the four walls of many churches, there are actually people wondering if God loves them? And that person just might be sitting right next to you. Don't sound so surprised. Even Charles Stanley struggled with knowing that God loved him. until he was in his late 40s. He would tell you he could quote scripture on God's love. He could preach good sermons on God's love. But he never really fully experienced that love until sometime late in his 40s. You know, many of you, maybe you grew up in a church where if you had a problem, you have to keep it hush-hush or people are going to judge you in the church. And so often you feel like you're carrying burdens by yourself. Adrian Rogers, he's another pastor, if you don't know him, but he's passed away. But he said, of the army that is out there, of all the army you can imagine, there's only one army that shoots us wounded, and it's the Christian army. Wow. That's pretty blunt. So it's very possible that within the church, people wonder, does God love me? And they've asked Jesus to save them. They confess their sins to him, and they still feel isolated inside. Hebrews 10:25 does say when churches meet, they're supposed to come. Maybe you've heard many pastors say, you know, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it feels like it's a chore. It's a rule. You have to go. It's a checklist. And I propose to you, that's not what it's supposed to be about. You say, well, how do you know that? Hebrews 10:25. Look at it one more time. He does say, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some are already doing, or as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. What does that word exhort actually mean? It means to encourage one another. So if you look at it again, you know what you're going to discover? It says we're to go to church that we might encourage one another as we see the day of Jesus drawing closer and closer. If we get that, if we really understand that, then we can rule out that churches are full of perfect people. Can I get an amen on that one at least? Amen. Okay. Churches are not full of perfect people. I've heard that so many times. In fact, you're going to find that church is just the opposite. And I'm going to explain all this to you this morning, that churches are actually full of people who are in need of encouragement. Churches are full of people who are in need of forgiveness, and churches are in need of others to help them with their burdens. Let's look at the first one for a minute. Churches are full of people who are in need of encouragement. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, Paul writes this, but God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? And now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker, they're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. In our unrepresentable parts, we can give those to greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. I'll explain that in a second. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no division in the body. Now, I love this part, if I haven't lost you already. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Did you get that? And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ and the members individually. What is Paul saying here? Is that God sets up the human body the way he does for a reason. And every part has a distinctive purpose. He places them there for a reason. You know, my little pinky toe that nobody ever sees, it has a purpose. And I can guarantee if it gets chopped off, I'm going to feel it. You know, it's funny, in the church, and I'm guilty of this, I would always want to be like in Jason's role. Up there with a really cool guitar, you know, jamming. Not that I could pull it off. But to be the center of attention. And I think so often we want that in the church. I've been guilty of it. And Paul says not everybody can be the eye. Not everybody can be the hand. And you might be in church thinking, well, your part is insignificant, but yet it plays a very valuable role. And it's up to the body, the rest of us, make sure you don't feel ignored or dishonored. Because in the end, it's about us pointing people closer to Jesus. But where God places you, He's placed us where He sees as best. You know, if all of us were the eye, what are you? Somebody's going to walk up and say, oh, there's an eye on the floor. Ew, gross. It's disgusting. We can't all be the same person, can we? Or have the same part. Everybody wants to be the ear. Oh, look, just an ear. That's gross. And, you know, you're not really a church. You're just an ear. No, we have a part to play. Verse 24 says that God composed the body together in such a way that even the parts that lack honor, they are given honor. And God wants all the parts to have the same concern for each other, so that if one member suffers, all suffer with it. And he says in verse 27, you are all the body of Christ and the members of that body. Wherever God has placed you in the body of Jesus, let me reassure you, you are of value. Let me give you an illustration. My wife just had, she's laughing at me already, she had foot surgery last week, Thursday. And she's got little feet, very little feet. And they're hidden behind a sock and a shoe. I don't see her toes very often. Now, what if her body said, your feet are not important. They're just hidden away. Her hands are in the spotlight. They play that piano over there. Oh, they're getting the spotlight. Her pretty face, you know, it gets the big spotlight as well. I'd have to say that, dear. But her feet, they get ignored. But when she had her foot surgery, I guarantee you, her entire body is now going to overdrive, making sure that foot gets healed. Because her body sees that is an important function if we're going to keep going. And her body's working overtime to make sure she's getting the healing that she needs. And when her foot starts to throb in pain, okay, not only am I bringing her coffee and this and that, and I'm working a full-time job, by the way, okay? I'm just kidding. But when her foot starts to throb, her whole body goes into action. Her knees bend, her hip bends, her back's hunching forward, her arms are stretching out to rub at the pain, to give her feet some comfort. Her foot is a very important part of the body. And I think that's what Paul is saying here within the church. That if one of us suffers, we all suffer with you in the church. That not one person could come here and feel ignored, or they have no value, or they'll never be like so-and-so. But that God says you have value in the church. Jesus says in John 13:35 that all people will know that we are His disciples if we have love for one another. So we are in need of encouragement. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but I hope that as a body we can keep reaching out to you and say, hey, you are loved, you are important in the church. So not only are we in need of encouragement, but we're also a church in need of forgiveness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul writes this, but if anyone has caused grief, he's not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. I guess he means on the person who's being punished. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for that person. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive them and forgive them, lest perhaps such a one be over or be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Therefore, I urge you, reaffirm your love to him. What's Paul saying here in this verse? He's talking about a church member who received some correction for a sin that they committed in the church. He doesn't tell us what this person actually committed, but this guy must have felt pretty bad about what he did, and he must have repented, because now Paul is advising the church how important it was that they let him know that he is forgiven, and to comfort him, lest he becomes swallowed up with over much sorrow. In other words, that person doesn't go away with all this guilt laid on them that they screwed up so bad that when he comes to church, people are just like looking down on him. Like, oh, you know what he did a couple years ago? Oh, he repented, but I can't believe he did that. And we do that, and we do that, and people can become swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Why would they want to go back to church again? They need to know that Jesus forgives them, he's loved, and we got to be very careful lest we fall into that same kind of trap. If you don't believe me, Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, church members, Christians, if a person is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. And then he says this, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I may have already shared a story with you, but a good friend of mine went to seminary with years ago. His name was Johnny. And I remember it was really weird one time. I was at this ATM. Johnny pulls up beside me, and he's got this white stuff foaming around his mouth. He was acting really weird. He goes, can I borrow some money? I'm like, I had this weird feel in my spirit. I'm like, no, Johnny. He goes, okay. I found out later he had a cocaine addiction. And he had to go through some correction with that. But even years earlier when he went through the same kind of correction process, he told me that where he was at in his other Bible college, that these guys, one by one, they were instructed by their teacher to go in there and just let him have it, rebuke him. He said, Charles, I'm telling you, one after one, I heard it all. He goes, I was sitting in this chair by myself. This Bible college student sat right next to me. He just let me have it. He said, only one actually gave me mercy. One. He said, you wouldn't believe this, but one of the guys that really corrected me, he said, he was actually messing with my little girl, who was probably 4 years old at the time. Be very careful when we correct somebody. They need to know, first of all, they are loved. They are forgiven if they repent. And in the spirit of love and meekness, we welcome them back every time. Because I guarantee you, there may come a time in your life when you may fall. And you're going to need somebody there to help pick you up along the way. I'm not an exception to the rule. I can fall too. I told you guys about my pornography addiction years ago. And I was reaching out to other men in the church to help me. And where I felt like I was walking alone was not many were really willing to help. Some actually excused it. Oh, you're just being a guy. Okay, well, this guy is feeling this far away from God right now, and I'm not loving it. We're a church who are in need of not only encouragement, but also forgiveness. Now, look what James 5:16 says. He says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. So as we help restore people's relationships with God, we also want to be there to confess our faults one to another. But that can only happen if we have relationships established within the church. One of the things that really helped me leave that pornography addiction, they say of the Christian men that get involved with it, 1% ever actually get out of it. And I was like, okay, I've got to be that 1% then. Because I don't want to feel this far away from God ever again. I hated it. So I found another guy in our church. His name was Scott. Long story short, he was always sad in church. I said, Scott, why are you so sad in church? He says, I'm an alcoholic. Okay, great. You got a guy with a porn addiction, a guy with an alcohol addiction. We started having Bible study on Saturday mornings together. We're just confessing our faults to each other. And you know what happened? More guys started coming. And eventually, 6 months later, Scott got healed of alcoholism. He was free. And God broke me free. And I don't say that to brag on anybody about what he's doing in my life. But I'm putting myself out there where if you have any kind of a struggle or an addiction, I can talk to you. So we're a church in need of encouragement. We're a church in need of forgiveness. We're also a church in need of others to help bear our burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to bear each other's burdens. I think so often I'm about as bad as this with anybody else. You know, some people just give me this long 2-hour spill what they're going through, and about an hour or so later, I'm like, okay, I have to go. When really they needed somebody to have a listening ear. I'm like, Lord, help me to slow down. And I pray that wherever you end up in church, that you feel like it's a place you can just sort of like let your hair down. You know, take those fancy hats off those people used to wear back in the 80s. You know, ones who always had all together, had the little Bibles. Just let it down. Just say, you know what? I'm not perfect. I kicked a dog this morning coming to church crying out loud. Not me, I'm kidding. But we have those mornings, right? Our cars break down. Satan just knows how to get to us. I got news for you. We're not perfect. We're forgiven in Jesus Christ. Forget that perfectionism stuff. We're a church who are in need of encouragement. We're in need of forgiveness. And all of us are carrying something. Wouldn't it be nice if you come along somebody and pray with them? And knowing that they care for you, that you're loved, won't that make you want to come back to church next Sunday? Because then church no longer becomes a chore. It's just like your second family. And I know for me, church is literally my second family. So what we do with this message, a lot of you are probably thinking about dinner in the back, so I'm not going to keep it very long today. Consider yourselves lucky. Let it serve as a healthy reminder. What I'm preaching to you about this morning is nothing new. Let it be as a healthy reminder to all of us that we apply the command to love our neighbor within the body of Christ, within the church. Love your neighbor. Reach out to somebody today and try to diminish as many strangers as you can in the church. And listen, I am just like Kevin. I'm an introvert as well. I'm a very shy introvert. And I have a hard time getting myself out there and talking to people. It is a struggle for me. But I hate being isolated. So for me to get out there and talk to you, it is a struggle. I will stutter. And I don't mean to. I grew up with a low self-esteem, and even at the age of 48, I am still overcoming that. But with God's help, I am. Learning how to come out of my shell. And I'm telling you, it is just as easy for me to stay home, watch a good sermon on TV, and say, I went to church today. Or put my credit card online to tithe to that particular church and say, oh, I tithe, I went to church, I'm good. But do I really follow the Hebrews 10:25 command of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? I can say I went to church. I can say that I tithed. But did I follow that verse entirely? Did I encourage somebody who's struggling with their faith? Did I encourage somebody who feels like they've walked far away from God and God no longer wants them? Did I help somebody and their walk with Jesus Christ? That's why we go to church, because we need those things. For those of us this morning who do believe in Jesus, you've already asked him to save you. There is a world out there that needs to know that he loves them. And I'm talking about, I hung out with Christians before who looked down on people with tattoos, the piercings. Oh, did you just see that person with their nose rings? I'm like, so? The important thing is, where are they going when they die? Who am I to stand over here and just say, oh, look at that person over there? No, they need to know that Jesus loves them first and foremost. Some of the happiest Christians I know are those who've got some of the tattoos on their bodies. They know they've been saved and redeemed. Man, they're just fun to hang out with sometimes. But I'd say that to say this. Don't exclude people, okay? But not only do they need to know that Jesus loves them, he loves people in here too. And that we don't look down on anybody or make people feel like they're less significant in a church. Maybe we ask God to help us get serious about understanding the Bible. I can remember some of the Christian men I went to, they say, hey, look, I got this porn addiction, and I need help overcoming this thing. One guy, I remember he was like, gee, Charles, I want to tell you. Okay, thank you. Next. And you walk away just feeling horrible. Like, you're just this lousy Christian. And no one, you know, why go? But I kept pursuing. I kept pushing. But maybe it is a good help for us to know to get serious about our Bibles and how we can apply it to help others. So next time somebody approaches you with a problem, you can help them. Maybe God just wants you to have a listening ear, that we learn to hear people's burdens and pray with them. Some of you, maybe you've had a horrible past and you feel like you're walking alone. Let me just speak to you for a moment and say that no one here in this church will ever judge you. We are all recovering sinners here. Can I say amen to that? We are all recovering sinners. So let me encourage you today. Reach out to somebody and don't be a stranger. Perhaps the Lord spoke to you this morning about your need to be saved. If you're not 100% sure that when you die, you're going to be in heaven. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're sitting here. Jesus loves you. He died for your sins on that cross. All of his blood was for you, that we might be forgiven. If you've never asked him to save you, you can ask him today.
Lord, thank you for this great week. Thank you for this message, a challenge to love each other, to have fellowship, to care for one another, pray for one another in our struggles. Lord, help us to smile together, to love just the fellowship that we feel right here. Thank you for this food that we're about to have, and we love you, Lord. Thank you for providing for us day by day, our daily bread. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen.